but three things.
Okay, children, let's take our seats. We have a lot to learn today.
What are we going to do?
Were you paying attention?
I anticipate a deeply religious experience.
Out, come out, wherever you are.
Okay, people, pay attention because I do not want to have to fail you.
Listen to this.
I will tell you three things.
Listen to me, please.
Pay attention. I say pay attention.
Pay attention, son. This is for your own good.
You moron.
But you listen to me.
Listen to me.
Listen to me, Coppertop.
I'm out there on the front lines liberating people.
I keep pitching them and you keep missing them.
Hey, 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 hey.
Listen to me, yo.
Are you ready now? Yes.
Listen to me, please.
Three things. Three things. Three things.
Parental guidance is suggested.
Hello.
Hello.
And right into thing number one. This out of Chicago. This is just great. Check this out. Americans apparently know more about the cartoon sitcom The Simpsons than they do about the First Amendment to the Constitution of the United States of America. That's right. I'm so embarrassed I could curl up and just die. I know. Only one in four Americans can name more than one of the five freedoms guaranteed by the First Amendment, which is pretty strange since I hear, "You can't do that, it's against my rights," all over the place. Well, how the hell do they know what their rights are? I mean, it's pretty apparent that they don't, right? More than half of Americans can name at least two members of The Simpsons, though. Yes, cartoon characters are more important than knowing the laws and rights and the governing structure of your own country. Everybody knows that. In a study by the New McCormick Tribune Freedom Museum, it was found that 22% of Americans could name all five Simpson family members, compared with just 1 in 1,000 people who could name all five First Amendment freedoms. A director at the museum said he was surprised by the results. I don't know why he's surprised. I'm sure he must see all of the sadly vacuous eyes of the students that come to his museum on field trips as they walk dazedly past the exhibits. I've seen that dead-eyed, I'm bored out of my skull look in far too many young eyes. I know he must have done. Madeira, whose museum will be dedicated to helping visitors understand the First Amendment when it opens in April, said part of the survey really shows there are misconceptions, and part of our mission is to clear up those misconceptions. It means we have our job cut out for us. Yes, job cut out. Education? What? The survey also found that more people could name the three American Idol judges than can identify even just three of the First Amendment rights. People are also far more likely to remember popular advertising slogans. The study also found people misidentified First Amendment rights. How about this, for example? About 1 in 5 people thought the right to own a pet was protected by the Constitution, and a whopping 38% said that they believed the right against self-incrimination contained in the Fifth Amendment was a First Amendment right. I have a question. Who, by the flaxen braids of Frida, is teaching, and I use that term very loosely, our children? I'm going to have to buy nothing but black clothes soon, so I'm properly dressed for the slow and grinding death of America as this current generation of youth grow to one day take over the running, or should I say ruining, of the country. Good thing I look pretty decent in black. Thing one, finished? No, no, it's not finished. I tricked you. I am not finished with thing one. Not even close. It gets even more ridiculous and sad. The following is my amendment to thing number one of today. The way many high school students see it, government censorship of newspapers may not be a bad thing. And flag burning is hardly protected free speech. Apparently, to students, and again I use that term loosely, because to say student would imply some sort of scholarly activity which seems sorely missing in American schools anymore, It turns out the First Amendment is a second-rate issue to many of those nearing their own adult independence. That's just great. It's great. I don't know how they will make their way or keep this country strong and vital. The original amendment to the Constitution is the cornerstone people of our way of life here in the good old USA, promising citizens the freedom of, now listen closely, the freedom of religion, the freedom of speech, freedom of the press, freedom to petition the government for anything you want to change, and the freedom of assembly. That means you can have a crowd and make peaceable crowd noises and get attention to your cause. It does not include rioting, just so's you know. Hey, the more you learn. I'm actually making one of those rainbow hand gestures, just so you know that too. When told the exact text of the First Amendment, more than 1 in 3 high school students said it goes too far in the rights it guarantees. I would agree if I were a Nazi. Only half of the students said newspapers should be allowed to publish freely without government approval of stories like in Soviet Russia. These results are not only disturbing, they are dangerous, said Hodding Carter III, president of John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, which sponsored this particular million-dollar study. Ignorance, he says, about the basics of this free society is a danger to our nation's future. Yes, yes it is. The students are even more restrictive in their views than their elders, which is just kind of weird, the study says. When asked whether people should be allowed to express unpopular views, 97% of teachers and 99% of school principals said yes. Only 83% of their students did. Well, I say that's because they're dummies. Some points of apparent confusion in the amendments and the Constitution itself include, get this, 3 in 4 students saying that flag burning is illegal. It is not. About half of the students said the government can restrict any indecent material on the internet. It cannot. As mentioned earlier, many think it is a constitutional right to own a fracking pet. It is not. Another survey conducted by researchers at the University of Connecticut is billed as the largest of its kind with more than 100,000 students, nearly 8,000 teachers, and more than 500 administrators at 544 public and private high schools taking part in the early 2004 survey. This study suggests that students embrace First Amendment freedoms if they are taught about them and are given a chance to practice them. But schools don't generally make that a matter of priority. I don't know why not. Students who take part in media activities such as student newspapers or television production are much more likely to support expression of unpopular views. It's that whole freedom thing ringing in your hearts, guys. Oh, about 9 in 10 principals said it is important for all students to learn some journalism skills, but most administrators say a lack of money, limits their media offerings. That's great. Just great. More than 1 in 5 schools offer no student media opportunities at all. And of the high schools that do not offer student newspapers, 40% of them have eliminated them entirely in the last 5 years. Not even a newsletter, nothing, no media, no current events, no impressions or expressions, zip, nada. That's sad. The last 15 years have not been a golden era for student media, said Warren Watson, director of the J Ideas Project at Ball State University in Indiana. Programs are under siege or dying from neglect, he says, and many students do not get the opportunity to practice our basic freedoms. That's so sad. Yes. So says he. So say I. Now who the heck needs to say it loud enough that someone important will listen and change something somewhere so the country doesn't go to hell in a handbasket with simple pictogram instructions on a tag inked bright red on the side? For the dummies. Thing number one, complete, at least for now.
There was an old farmer who lived by a rock. He sat in the meadow, shaking his fist at some boys who were down by the creek. Their feet in the water, their hands on their marbles and playthings. And in days of yore, there came a young lady. She looked like a pretty young creature. She sat on the grass. She pulled up her dresses and showed us her ruffles and laces. And white puppy that quack, she said she was learning a new way to bring up her children and learn them to knit. While the boys in the barnyard were shoveling refuse and litter from yesterday's hunt, while the girl in the meadow was rubbing her eyes at the fellows, as girls sometimes do, to make it quite clear that she wanted to go for a nice pleasant stroll on the grass and hurry back home for a nice piece of ice cream and cake that's the three-layer stall. And after dessert, she was ready to go for another walk down by the dock with any young man with a sizable roll of 100s in a big bulge up front. If he'd ask politely, she'd show him her little pet dog who was subject to fits. Then maybe she'd let him grab hold of her small tender hands with a movement so quick. Then she'd bend on over and suck on his soda so sweetly till she finished it. Then pull down her panties to rub on her hip that she bruised when she ran down the halls. Cause he tried to force her to lick on his candy so tasty made of butterscotch. And then he spread whipped cream all over her cookies that she had been baking all night. If you think this is dirty, you're fucking...
And now, as promised, an interview I hope you all find interesting. Today, I'm going to have a little chat with the ladies from the popular morning television show, The View. The View, recipient of the 2003 Daytime Emmy Award for Outstanding Talk Show, is the original forum where real women discuss relevant, everyday issues and share their daily, no-holds-barred opinion and lively, colorful conversations. Sounds like a real hoot, eh? The cast consists of 5 co-hosts, all of which are here with us today. Hello, ladies. Now, first we have Elizabeth Hasselback, Survivor Australia Final Four member, runner, and now talk show co-host. Isn't that great? Hello, Elizabeth. Can I call you Lizzie? Thanks so much. I'm finding it difficult to come up with questions for you, Lizzie. How are your feet holding up? I see. And do you wear sweats or shorts when you run? Great. So, that's all I can think of. Thanks to you, Elizabeth. And next, Joy Behar. Great. Comic talent with a master's in English. She began working as a teacher and then, oddly enough, became a stand-up comic. I wonder if that's how she copes with that teenage thing. And now she dispenses advice with her usual mix of common sense and humor. Hello, Joy. What gives you the right to dispense advice? I mean, have you any proper training at all, or did some nut somewhere just think, wow, there's Joy. I bet she knows what to do. That's about what I thought. I'm finished with you now, Joy. Thanks. Yeah. Next time, perhaps. Thanks. And now to Star Jones Reynolds. Known to viewers for your candor, confidence, and uncanny ability to clarify muddy legal and social issues. Pretty much famous for interviewing rapist and thug Mike Tyson, the uncontrollable Rodney King, and famous murderer O.J. Simpson. And now, you are known for being a co-host on The View. God, what a trip, huh? Hello, Miss Jones. I have a couple questions for you. Are you ready? Good. Star, are you nuts? I mean, those guys are whack jobs, and you treat them like they're somehow special. Don't you think that's a bit crazy? I see. I have to be something I'm not to understand, right? Wonderful. Thanks to you, Star Jones. Thanks a lot. That's great. And not to be forgotten, Meredith Vieira, who went from game show host to now moderator of The View. Congratulations, Meredith. Now, is this a difficult assignment, this moderating of these women? And just how hard is it to keep Barbara from kicking Joy's ass? Yeah, that's great. If I could arrange it, is there anyone besides Joy whose ass you would like to have kicked? I'd like to kick his ass too, Meredith. I surely would. Thanks so much to you. Last, but never by any stretch of the imagination, least, the wonderful, the magnificent, the amazing, Barbara Walters. Well known for interviewing more statesmen and stars than anyone else in history. Hello, Miss Barbara. You interviewed Richard Nixon. What was that like? Would you do it again? Who would you like to interview that you haven't yet? Me too, Babs. Me too. Wonderful. I believe that's all I wanted to know from you. Thanks to you, Miss Barbara. Now, Barbara, we can't all have what we want. You just have to wait for your next interview to address such weighty issues. I thank you for your time. All you ladies have been just wonderful. Thank you for coming and talking with me today. And good luck with all that. And good night. Those were the ladies from The View. Great dames, all of them. All of them. Thanks for listening.
All right.
And now, thing number three. Yay! Fun music. In case you don't recognize this one, it's Singing in the Bathtub. Huzzah!
Singing in the bathtub, sitting all alone, tearing out a tonsil just like a baritone. Singing through the soap suds, life is full of hope. I can sing with feeling while feeling for the soap. Oh, the ring around the bathtub isn't so nice to see, but the ring around the bathtub is a rainbow to me. I can yodel opera, oh, even while I scrub. Everybody's happy while singing in the tub. Never take a shower, it's an awful pain. Singing in the shower's like singing in the rain. Oh, there's dirt to be abolished, but don't forget one thing. While the body's washed and polished, sing, brother, sing. Be my love, but no one else can end this yet. Reaching for a towel, happy once again, watching all my troubles go swirling down the drain.
Hello, and welcome again to Three Things, the show where anything might pop out, so be careful what you wish for because you might find it here. I hope you do. I'm your host, your PJ, Jenna. It does not stand for pajamas, it stands for pod jockey, maybe jockette in my case. I think I have some pretty cool stuff to share with you today, so let's get right on to it. Thing number one, RADS. That's right. Here is something that I can scarce believe myself, and it is so apropos. Oh, look, I used that word again. Yay! And even serendipitous to this very show, show number three even. I was noodling about on the net looking for interesting things, and I came across this news story from the tiny island of Taiwan. Check this out. Remember on the first Three Things show, if you listened to it, and I hope you did, there are definitions that I gave for the very strange words in the poem by Lewis Carroll, Jabberwocky. The word wrath came out, and it's not the wrath Black Hawk bacon, which is kind of funny, but it does mean green pigs. Well, there really are green pigs. That's right. There really are green pigs. Wraths exist, if you will. These pigs are transgenic, created by adding genetic material from jellyfish into a normal pig embryo. Ain't that something? The scientists from National Taiwan University's Department of Animal Science and Technology say that although the pigs glow, they are otherwise no different from any other piggy. Taiwan is not claiming a world's first with this. Others have bred partially fluorescent pigs before, which is odd in itself. But the researchers insist that these pigs, these three little pigs, that they have produced are much better in that they are the only pigs that are green from the inside out. Even their heart and internal organs are green. Yeah, here's how they did that. The DNA from the jellyfish was added to about 265 little bitty piggy embryos, which were implanted in 8 different girly piggies. 4 of them got pregnant, and 3 little boy pigleteers were born 3 months ago. In the daylight, the researchers say the pig's eyes, teeth, and trotters look green, and their skin has a greenish tinge. And in the dark, if you shine a light on them, they glow like a torchlight. Ain't that something? The reason for this odd creation, some might even say abomination, will be to use these transgenic pigs to study human diseases because the pig's genetic material actually encodes a protein that shows up as green and so is easy to spot. So if, for instance, some of its stem cells are injected into another animal's, then scientists can track how they develop without the need for cutting into the animal or doing any other sort of invasive test. It was not easy to do this, though. Many of the little piggy embryos just failed to develop. Aww. Researchers say that they hope the new green piggies will get it on with ordinary girly piggies to parent a new generation of RADS, so they have lots of little green oinkers for use in research. I hope it helps. I'm still freaked out a little bit, I think. There is a link on my pod page at threethings.podomatic.com. Go check that out. You can see pictures and even videos of these little green oinkers. It's kind of strange. That was thing number one. I hope you like the piggies. I'm done.
Thank you.
Bye now.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Does this mean we're not friends anymore?
I'll be back.
Well, goodbye. Don't think it hasn't been a little slice of heaven, because it hasn't.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for coming. I'll see you in hell.
You dudes get lost now, you hear?
That's it, man. Game over, man. Game over.
Good night, ladies.
Good night, sir.
I've got to get out of this place.
Hasta la vista, baby.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Okay, I love you. Bye-bye.
We could chat longer, but I'm having an old friend for dinner. Bye.
Well, I can't do any more damage around this popsicle stand. I'm out of here! Now go away or I shall taunt you a second time.
This has been a most unusual day.
Well, turn it off, man.
Y'all come back here.
Initiating shutdown sequence.
I'm out of here.